Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. There's no better music than love making music, although there's, you know, there is a case to be made for rock and roll. There's a case to be made for country. There's a case to be made for soul, like true soul. There's a case to be made for a lot of different genres, but you can't refute it. I'm sorry. There's no better music than love making music. Barry White had it spot on. I'm sorry. He did. It just is what it is. We have to live with that, folks, and embrace it. You know, there's just no better music. You know, it really is. I was looking at my music inventory earlier because I was getting all my equipment all back to where it needs to be. And I noticed the vast majority of the songs happen to be love making music. You know, at some point, some of these songs and a lot of my records, I have a lot of records. A lot of these, you know, I'm sure people were born to many of these songs. And so it's one of those mental things for me. I am tomorrow, just to wrap it up, there's a couple of things. So I'm debating whether for CryptoTalkRadio.net, whether I just go to single episode per week. I don't know. I'm flipped on that one because there's not a lot that's significantly changing where it warrants doing twice a week. It doesn't bother me to do twice, but there's not a lot that's significantly shifting. A lot of it's the same news over and over again, and I don't want to repeat myself on news. And I was thinking if I do the once a week, I can just do out of cycles. And then the way I've got it set up now, just so you know, all of the podcast episodes now synchronize up to YouTube. So if you're on YouTube and you want to hear our episode, our latest episode, it synchronizes there immediately after I post it. So if you prefer just being on YouTube, that's where you would want to go. Now, the problem with YouTube is you can't add it to like an app, like a podcast application. So you don't get the notifications unless if you subscribe to notifications through YouTube. And then, of course, you're getting fed the garbage algorithms from YouTube. So I'll leave that up to you guys to decide if that's something that you want to do. I'm not forcing or any of that. I'm just saying it's available for those that, you know, maybe that's more preferred or more their style that is available to you. So I'm thinking then, if I do once a week on the main show, then I can do out of cycle updates and it won't matter because it's still going to go to YouTube and to the podcast side if I do that. The only reason I hesitate to do that and moving away from the two is that there could be something that's important enough that warrants a full episode. Like this whole Hex business kind of warranted a full episode. As much as I didn't want to do it, it was important enough because I know that there were some people in the Hex community. I actually had somebody on YouTube who reached out about it. There's enough people that had talked to me before from the community that said, no, we do follow your coverage because you're kind of level-headed and we want to make sure that people are aware that there's somebody out there that's level-headed. And I appreciate that. I didn't want to leave people hanging out to dry, as it were. So that's the reason I did that. But I try not to, but there's just so much garbage out there. You know, the Caspa business, Hex business, Atama business. I try not to do it, but it just seems to be inevitable. So I'm just letting you know, I may or may not shift to one full episode a week. If I do that, I may extend that episode to maybe 45 minutes instead of 30. I'm still banning it in my head. I haven't decided. And I would go back to out of cycle updates. So if there is something that just comes up, I would just do an out of cycle, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes or something. Just to keep people in the loop about things that are going on. Separately, I have a call to action for people listening to the show. By the way, welcome if you are new. I do have a call to action. You're not required. I'm requesting. If there's something specifically that you're looking for in terms of coverage, feel free to reach out at cryptotalkradio.net. Fill out the contact forms at the links at the top and let us know if there's something specifically that you're looking to have covered. I'm not even talking token, just anything. Anything that's in the news, anything that's, you know, current and in the now. Hopefully it's not something garbage, but if there's something that you're looking for in coverage on a regular basis, let us know those and I'm happy to consider them. As I'm kind of shifting stuff around, this is a different run. You know, the run is completely different. The numbers are completely different. We're going to talk about the numbers here in a second, where I'm going to kind of emphasize how much different it is this run versus the previous. Everything is completely different than what it was before. Before, it was just I don't want to say a shit show, but that's what it was. Whereas now it's a bunch of scams, but it's a controlled scam. So let's jump some numbers and then you'll hopefully see kind of what I'm talking about, this business. All righty. Coindesk.com. I'm going to zoom out to the month chart. And I'm going to start with Ethereum. Although both of them had some issues and Bitcoin had more static. I'm going to start with Ethereum today because its shift was a little bit more predictable. In the last, I talked about the fact that it was headed downward, or it looked like it was in a downward direction. It did indeed go down. It was a pretty large dump for what it was. Has now bounced back up, but still in a downward pointing direction. So although there's pressure, as in there's purchases happening and there's a general positive sentiment, it's still in a downward direction from what I tell. Now, I could be way off wrong, but you know, that's why I do it. That's why I do the coverage twice a week, because I want to keep you up to date if I get it wrong or I'm spot on of directional shifts. And it's easier to do that twice a week because there could be something significant that shifts that momentum into the opposite direction. That's what I'm looking for, is something that shifts the momentum. I don't see it yet. Hopefully it shows up, but right now I don't see it. Low of 3,400, a high of 30, just side of 3,600, hovering just around the 3,500 mark as I record this. So not a lot of volatility, but it did recover somewhat, but it's really recovering steep losses. It's not like it's a upward trend recovery. It's still a downward pressure on it. There's buy pressure, but it's downward pressure in terms of the momentum of the graph, and to be specific. And then Bitcoin is the one that had a little bit more static in the sense of volatility, static in the sense of weird shifts going on, because it had the dip, but it recovered much better, although it's also downward direction. A low of 64.6, just shy of 64.6, high of 68,000, hovering around the 65,000 mark. And there are some estimates out there that speculate that this guy's going to go much lower. People speculate around 62,000 is what they're calling out. Now, I do see a downward facing activity. If I had to throw a spitball at it, I'm going to say 62.5, 62, somewhere around there in where it looks like it's headed. It doesn't mean that there's, you know, people are done with crypto or, you know, it isn't it. It's none of that. It just, for whatever reason, and there's a variety of things, but, you know, liquidations and, you know, but I'm saying that why ever people are selling in response to it, because that seems counter to what I would expect. I would expect this is the, like, if you were in it from before, you saw that it went up and then it went down and it went up and it went down and went up, like it's cyclical. So I would expect if those people were in from before, and I don't see new money, so if they were in from before, they should understand this is the game. And I would expect them to look for discounts. I would expect them to look for any opportunity to get in on the cheap. They've already missed the super cheap, because remember, this is as low as Bitcoin, as low as like $12,000 freaking dollars. So it's not like we're major down, like we're way up. So I don't know. Maybe there's something there. I can't say for sure. I do know that some of the exchanges are kind of opening up the coffers a little bit. So there is certainly a positive shift and a positive momentum in general, just that for the short term, for right now, things are not looking as positive as they did before. If I looked at total market cap, like it seems to echo what I just said, $2.5 trillion, which of course is down from the $2.7 trillion that we peaked at. And we've lost a lot of the momentum that happened before. It may seem like not a large drop, but it is. It's 3% for all of cryptocurrency. That's a significant enough drop as unexpected in the short term. We still expect a long-term run. And some of the speculation was that the halving, some people are just selling out before the halving because they're unsure about what may happen. I think there's more to it than that, but that's kind of the rumor running around. Meanwhile, if you look at something like Solana's still running up, although there's sell pressure on it as well. There's a lot of garbage tokens that are helping push its price up. But Solana got very dangerously close to the $200 mark. Remember, Solana had a peak. I want to say it peaked at like $380 or some odd. So Solana is on its way nicely back up. It's now in the top four as I record this in terms of volume over the last 24 hours. So don't ignore Solana. It was able to finally overtake the garbage that is First Digital USD, which is the Binance stable that they're trying to switch everything over apparently to, because all the pairs have switched over to that First Digital USD. Has overtaken USDC. And USDC is, of course, the most popular, although I think it's crap, the most popular stablecoin. Solana overtook that one. Solana overtook XRP. Solana overtook Doge. Solana overtook BNB. Solana overtook SHIB. Don't sleep on Solana right now. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to sustain, because I think at some point there's going to be some pressure downward, especially when we get a little bit more dip on Bitcoin. But for right now, don't sleep on this business, because Solana is shifting heads is what it's doing. Speaking of Doge, Doge had a run up very most recently. It should not be ignored either, because even though it doesn't really do anything, same as SHIB, they both had their run ups ever recently. So I say these things to praise Solana, not to trash the others, is my point. I'm saying that Solana should not be ignored, along with a diverse portfolio that may include some of these other ones, because these other ones are performing well as well. Even Pepe, which has dipped a little bit, is still up there in the top 50. So you can't ignore that one either. And it's right alongside a lot of these core ones, you know, these layer ones and layer zero. So it's an interesting, world of profit opportunities. Profit opportunities are everywhere. And the key is to make sure that you're staying careful and not getting overly tempted by all the profit opportunities that happen to be spinning out around. I'm not suggesting that there's going to be a guaranteed scam. I'm saying that you want to be careful no matter what you do. Now, there's a little bit of turmoil. If you expected Gary Gensler to go the hell away, I don't know. I have a bridge to sell you because I told you, I warned people. I mean, if you're new, you wouldn't have heard this, but I warned people. He's not going to go away. This is not going to go away. He's not going to give up if he just lost a court case. It's just not going to happen. He's going to be there. He's going to do something. He's going to be back, and he is. And so now what he's doing is he's rushing to build things that will allow him to essentially regulate cryptocurrency with more rigor. He's not backing down. He's not going away. You might have thought, well, with the spot Bitcoin ETFs, it'll lighten up. No, he only did that because of pressure. That's what it is. And then, of course, Bitcoin has never been considered a security under even their model. He's openly said he doesn't consider Bitcoin a security, but he does think that Ethereum is a security. So he's putting together a team internally so that he can try to rush some regulation. He wants to get more enforcement authority around Ethereum. And in his mind, he feels that, look, Ethereum is a security no matter what. Now what we need to do is start enforcing this. Well, look at the timing. The timing is very, very ironic, isn't it? Because there's chatter around Ethereum ETFs, Ethereum funds, and everything else. He comes out trying to essentially kill the business. We know what he's trying to do, just like he was doing leading up to the Bitcoin ETFs, trying to kill the business, chatter that's going to cause some negative sentiment. This may be one of the contributing factors to some of the downward pressure that we see ever most recently. I can't say for sure. I'm saying I find the timing very ironic in what it is. Recently, there were subpoenas sent out for the Ethereum Foundation collecting information. It's a witch hunt, right? It's a witch hunt. We know what it is. And the SEC is trying to make a case for why Ethereum is a security. Many people don't think it's going to really affect anything, even if they were able to be successful in doing it, because it's already too late. But what it likely would do is give some strength, I'll say, for a case for not approving an Ethereum ETF. With what happened with the Bitcoin ETF, if you remember, it was delayed and delayed and delayed. They did everything they could to drag their feet on approving that business. And then after it was approved, there's all this chaos that happens. It finally stabilized, but the point is it took a long road, and he did everything he could to grind the gears to allow everything else to catch up. The theory is that he's doing the same thing for Ethereum, to where he's saying, no, this is one of those things where we definitely need to slow this down because it's dangerous. He even said a quote, something along the line of, these are just risky assets because of all the people losing money in these rug pulls and pump and dump scams and everything else. So if you are concerned by it, there's nothing wrong with being concerned. I'm saying that there's a pattern with him where he's doing these things just prior to something else that they need to approve, and he's just doing it to slow down the wheels of progress. And then that's essentially influencing the market, because the market is banking on these things getting approved, and then price shifts in a certain direction, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news. And then something like this happens, and then everything goes to crap. Now, I can't tell you specifically what is or isn't going to happen. I'm telling you that from my lens, I think that this is all strategic. I think he's doing it on purpose to kill the business prior to an inevitable approval. That's my theory. Hopefully I get that right. For the remainder of the episode, I figured it's time for me to get back into Underdog tokens, as much as I have an appetite for. And there's one I've been mentioning. I mentioned it before. I didn't do any coverage up to this point. I figured now is the best time to go ahead and talk about it, get it out of the way. This is Libra Protocol, L-I-B-R-A. Protocol. Their site is libra-finance.com. If you want to check it out, and I do recommend that you do so. There's a couple of reasons this caught my eye. So first of all, they claim that they're the first rebase token on the Solana chain. And there's similarities. If anybody who's listening to the show who came from the Libero ecosystem, aka Thorium, Libra, F-Libero, and all the other shinies that were spun up by those idiots, if you're from that ecosystem, this caught my eye because there are a lot of similarities to what this is written to do and what Libero was, I'm talking Libero, the original one, was written to do, all the way down. I'm going to be talking that through. So if it's something that you're curious about, I do encourage you to take a look at it. Now, straight up the jump, they're white papers in the garbage get book, so they already have some negative sentiment with me. So I'm not going to be, it's not going to be too appealing from my lens because I don't like tokens that go to the garbage get book straight out of the jump. I just don't. So sorry, I don't. So here's what they talk about. They talk about, and they're really heavy on this whole Solana business. They're really heavy on the rebase business. They claim a fixed, unrealistic APY, right? 2,638.56% APY. That is for staking. Then they have a 6,057% APY for their bank, which they call the Libra Bank. Is this sounding similar? It should. Then they have what's referred to auto stake, which I'll get to here in a second. So now there's multiple. So they have a miner, they have staking, they have the auto stake that, again, I'll talk about in a second. And they have this bank, all these different little tools. Is this sounding familiar? If you came from that other ecosystem, Libero, it should. I was convinced it was the same group of people, but I know it can't be, but I was convinced that it had to be. So the total supply that they had, that they provisioned on this thing, I'm pretty sure was a billion, 1 billion Libra. They burned 200,000 of it. And then there's about 400,000 that's staked already. So deposited, I should say deposited, not staked, but deposited in some way, either to the bank, stake, or auto stake, one of those. And then it pays out rewards. Now, the weird thing about this is the rewards, so that the token supply, I can't tell, it's a rebase token, so it's elastic, right? The supply is going to shift, but it's not just with Libero, it was basically just a positive rebase token. It was designed to grow, right? And print. And that's how they gave rewards, is that it just went up. It never went down. With Thorium then, Thorium V4, it's a negative rebase, as in they're literally burning supply. It's not really a rebase, but I'm saying it's the concept is a negative rebase of that. It's burning supply. Supply is going down on a constant basis versus Libero, which printed out of control. Libera never really had a rebase mechanic. It was a static amount of tokens, but it didn't matter because the value of Libero went to crap and they lied about getting on exchanges because that never happened, which Leister at CryptoTalkRadio.net told people it was going to not get on exchanges. So that ecosystem was killed halfway by the rebasing. Things like Titano, things like Fino, things like Seifu were all killed by the rebasing mechanics. So then when I see Libra come out of nowhere and they're talking about a rebase mechanic, and I see that the amount of Libra they paid out is equivalent to the amount that was deposited in the bank, the current effective APY for the bank is 3,127%, which is 16.59% per day. Staking APY is 1,780% with a 7.23% per day. The reason I'm breaking down these numbers, because I'm hopeful that there's at least one person, maybe Dion or Frantic or somebody from that ecosystem that remembers when Libero first launched and what they were talking about. These are the kind of numbers that attracted Libero investors in the first place. These kind of APYs for staking into the bank. So when I look deeper, I'm like, okay, these feel like the same devs. I know they can't be because they, on the site, it actually calls out who developed the app, which is called Alpha Developments, alphadevelopments.org, which is a third-party company. So I know it's not the same devs as the freaking Thorium ones because they don't highlight who specifically developed all their apps, and their apps are, they run like crap anyway. So when you go to their D app, which is libra-finance.app, the D app is clean. It's really clean, well-organized. Everything is easy to understand for the layman investor. Again, this is a Solana chain. I have some issues, which were more personal pet peeves, but I do have some concerns about their wallet connect because I think it's half-baked. Other than that, I was very impressed with what I saw. If they fix the wallet connect, then I'd have no problem advocating at least to check it out. But without that, I think it's garbage. I'll come back to that. So the overall, it has a dashboard concept, just like with Libero, like it did. The bank concept is the same thing as what Libero did, down to, you can step, but the staking periods, the periods of deposit are much more flexible. You can deposit for 1 week up to the 4 years, but it has smaller segments. You can put it in for 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years, but the unlock penalty is 10%. not 90%. Remember, Liberos was a 90% penalty if you unlocked it early, which basically meant you're screwed if you ever unlocked it. So there are people right now still in now Libera Bank if they migrated. If they didn't migrate, they're still stuck in Libero Bank. There's people stuck in the bank because they went to the 4 years because they told you to go with the 4 years because that's the most, you know, for the reflections and for the rebasing. Here, they say that the early unlock is only 10%, not the full 90%. So you can cash out earlier. That's pretty cool because it means that they're not trying to keep you trapped, right? So now I'm thinking, well, I know it's not the same devs, but they had to have some awareness of what Libero was doing because it's so identical to what Libero was doing, just done right. I'm so emphatic of if any of them hear this, I'd love to chat with them to confirm that theory that, okay, these were in that ecosystem and saw how incompetent those devs were, and so they spun up their own, or is it those devs and they understand? I don't know. When you go to stake is a different thing. So in the Libero ecosystem, it's all one thing. Your staking is essentially your bank deposit. They're one and the two. You can't separate them. Here, it's a different thing. The way that the staking works is, think of it like, you know, if you're in Luna Classic, you can stake or delegate your tokens to a validator, any of the other ones. But I call it Luna Classic because it's the closest I can think of the way Libera has it. You can delegate your tokens and then they're locked up for a period. So it's not like you're gaining, right? Rewards, staking rewards, but they have a lockup period. So when you say, okay, I want to withdraw, you just have to wait. I think they say it's 24 hours. So that's not too bad, right? You just have to wait before you can get them out of there. That's actually very fair. And so if you didn't want to lock them into the bank for any period of time, you don't have to. Now, as I understand it, the staking gives you actually higher rewards, as I see it, higher rewards than the bank does, but the bank gives you different types of rewards. I'm going to go to the auto stake because it may make better sense, because the auto stake, the way this works, I'm not a fan of. If you know the Everrise ecosystem, this is the closest analogy I can think of. So the way it works is, as you have tokens, so sitting in your wallet, you have tokens, what happens is you're eligible if you have a certain number or greater of the tokens. I think it's like 1 million, but you have a certain amount of the tokens or greater. You can come to AutoStake and it lets you claim Solana tokens and it doesn't unlock. So if you know the Everrise, they have the tool that says, you know, come in here and do the redistribution. You have to click the button and it redistributes rewards to everybody. That's the only way you're going to get any sort of rewards distribution through Everrise is people going and actually doing it. This is very similar, except that the claim comes to you instead of to everybody else. Like it's the perfect storm of all the complaints I had about two of the ecosystems that I covered pretty heavily addressed in one nice clean tool. And again, it is a clean tool. It's a very, very clean tool that I was very impressed with. So now they have a calculator, which I think this is huge. All of them have a calculator, but their calculators don't really do that much of a good job of telling you what the deal is. So you can put in an amount of tokens that you have and say, okay, if I'm putting it at the bank, I'm going to lock it up for 6 months. And if I lock it up for 6 months, then tell me how many rewards I'm going to get. And it tells you how much APY that you're going to get. The problem that I have with this is it doesn't always work because of the wallet connect. So the wallet connect drives the ability to really interact with the site to an excessive degree, which I don't really care for. I think that it should just work regardless because the wallet connect doesn't really work. In order to make this work, you have to have one of two specific types of wallets, which I'm not a fan of. There's specifically a Solana wallet, and I forget the name on top of the head. It starts with an S, but there's a specific Solana wallet it wants you to have. You can install that on your computer if you have a computer, or there's a mobile app if you do that one. But if you use like Trust Wallet, it doesn't work because Trust, although it has a Solana wallet inside of it for the multi-wallet, it's not a Solana wallet specifically. And so the site is coded to specifically look for certain types of wallets. I think it's called Solarium or something, which is stupid because you don't have to do that. You just do Wallet Connect and support anything. Wallet Connect is your standard and they don't support Wallet Connect through this interface. So you would have to have one of these two specifically, I know Phantom's one of them, one of these two specifically Solana wallets in order to interact with the site. That I don't like. That I think is a problem because it breaks if you don't have that. You cannot interact with it. You can buy it on Jupiter, that's fine, or Radium rather, but I don't like that it's forcing you to have specific types of wallets. That's the only negative I've got of the site and everything that's broken out, because I think everything else is great or decent great for what it is. So yeah, Phantom is one of the wallets. Soulflare is the other wallet. And again, these are not traditional wallets. They only support the Solana, which sucks. I don't like it doing that. I think it's stupid. So then the last one is a miner concept. The miner concept, again, I'm doing the analogy to Libero, because, or actually Libera in this case, because that's the best closest that I can think of. It's doing the same concept as the miner. It allows withdrawal. It does have a penalty, but you can withdraw. It's not locked in there. It has a fixed APY. So it's a fixed APY of 2,120% instead of what Libera's was doing or what Thorium's was doing, where the APY would shift based on how many whales were in the business. And there's less gimmicks. It's not gamified. So like with Thorium's in particular, it's gamified. You know, you have to come in here and you have to give 6,000 in order to have this deposited into your business. And you have to do this to win the Lambo, and you have to do this at the right time, and the clock doesn't work right. Like, it's all gamified on that ecosystem. Here, there's no gamification. It's straightforward, as clean as it gets. So Libera Protocol, L-I-B-R-A, site is Libera-Finance, not, although the name is protocol, it's Libera-Finance.com. If you want to check it out, I do recommend you do so for the Solana chain, because Solana is hopping right now. And I think there's something with this one that's somehow connected to somebody who was in the other ecosystem for Libero. And if that's true, they may have built it to try to do it right. And from what I see, it looks pretty cool. I did try the auto stake. I wasn't really impressed with the pool, but that's because there's no volume on it right now, because they did not do, from what I can tell, they did not do a lot of heavy advertising on this business. They did not do a lot of shilling on it. They didn't do a lot. There's not even a roadmap of, you know, go after shillers. None of that's here. It's just the tool. They launched and then it's just the tool. And then the white paper. And the white paper, again, although it is the garbage Git book, which I can't stand, it's a nice clean, you know, for what it is. It just, I don't like that it's garbage Git book. And it has, you know, a presence to it that's intriguing, I guess is the best way to describe this. So I do recommend that you take a look at it. I will warn you, there is I'm pretty sure it's a buy tax and a sell tax on this. So if you do decide to get in, just understand there is a tax applied to it, which is very unusual, because you can get into, I think it's Bonk is one, and Pepe, where they don't have taxes, Miro, where they don't have taxes. So that may be a turnoff for people. I don't know. But they openly say, yeah, we have a tax and we're doing it because we want you to hold long term. We don't want you to pump and dump it. We don't want you to fast trade it. We want you to hold, and we want you to be a user of the ecosystem. So again, the messaging is this very similar to what Libero presented what it was supposed to be, which is, we don't want you to be a pump and dump. We want you to actually hold this and support the eco and participate in the whole nine. So check it out. See what you think. Let us know if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have on Libera protocol. As I close, I'm going to put some thought into whether or not I go to one once a week with Out of Cycles, and whether that makes sense for the show. I don't know. It doesn't hurt me either, you know, but maybe that's a little bit more in line with the way cryptos is right now, because it's a different era. And I said at the beginning, it's completely different. It's a different run. It's not the same run. In the previous run, it was bizarre, but basically there were just these tokens that were spinning up and dropping billions of dollars getting thrown in them out of thin air, really, like you think Satama and SHIB out of thin air. Here, we're getting billions of dollars thrown into different projects now. It's not, you're not seeing the same level of velocity to some of these other ones like SHIB. They have velocity, but now you're getting all these other garbage tokens spinning up, Solana tokens spinning up, and other chains, because Ethereum's gas is out of control. I don't know if you've seen that, but the gas is way out of whack again. And I trade Ethereum now. So I see it $100 a shot. Yeah. So it's a different era. And so now the coverage has shifted. People online, you may have noticed, people online have shifted their coverage. They're not doing what they were doing before. None of them are. Even Crypto Journey, Fudney, Rodney, whatever. Even he's not doing what he was doing before. Remember what he was doing before? He was basically just talking about whatever crap was out there. I think I think Jazz Royce still does, but I don't watch his channel. I don't know. Crypto Queen, Tammy, I don't think she does. I think everybody else has, I'll say it, and I know they don't listen to my show, has matured. You know, they've turned into more traditional coverage. They've turned into more well-rounded coverage. They're trying to be more diverse. The downside of that shift is many of them have lost views, unless it's a specific project somebody cares about. So I noticed that. That's why I say, you know, I'm not a YouTuber. I'm a podcaster. Podcast is where I'm at, and that's what I appreciate being. You know, I'm cool with it, and I like doing the podcast. It's easy for me, and I think it's more targeted. I think it's more accurate, and I think it's easier to listen to on the road when you're working out or something else. I'm not into the video. I will be on video, by the way, and that's the last part of my update here today is, you know, I have a desk replacement for my Endeavor that's going to shift then the desk I'm sitting at now. So everything's going to move around. This desk will then face the studio, and that will let me get back on video because I've already checked done a sound check and a camera check, and everything else is good to go. And then lighting is the only thing left. So we'll be getting back on video, and then we have to figure out the cadence of that one, because if I shift the podcast to once a week, we have to figure out how the video will fit into that. I haven't committed. I will not be doing daily video. There's no value in doing daily video. And I think some people who make this a full-time job, like the YouTube side, they try to do like daily updates and frequent updates because they're trying to make it a day, you know, full-time something. I don't think it's personally sustainable. I don't. It's harder to do it now than it ever was. It's harder to get people to subscribe, and it's harder to get people to stay subscribed, and it's harder to get people to pay for subscription on YouTube, for sure, in general. That's why I don't ask, because I understand, okay, it's just a harder era. Let me just put out good information. People spread the word, and that's my ask of you. Spread the word and let people know, no, this guy, he's on point, and he's level-headed coverage, and he's smooth, as I know I am, and just spread the word. And that's good enough for me, because if I get more people hearing the kind of stuff that I like to share, to me, that enriches the entire business. And if it enriches the business and makes smarter investors, it benefits everybody, right? If I get smarter people in cryptocurrency, they're going to hang on to the right projects, the solid projects, and then my quote bag benefits as a result. That's kind of my thought process on it. There happens to be the triad of people want to subscribe. I don't force it. I don't shill it. I don't whatever. It is what it is. So that's what I got. And I'm going to jump on the Discord after this and just check in on folks. Feel free to join us in our Discord if you want. CryptoTalkRadio.net/Discord. I'm always there. And if you have any questions, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have through that channel, as well as our syndication that's happening through the radio. We have a radio, Cool Tunes Radio. All of our episodes are syndicated through that. So if you like throwback music, including British Invasion, along with your cryptocurrency updates, feel free to check out our Cool Tunes Radio. That's on ctronair.net/radio, I believe it is. I'll make sure that's in the Discord channel in case somebody is interested in that.